independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Of course, Mooch became bigger than Trump, and haven't we seen this before? The fact that I'm using the word Mooch, using the name Mooch. Right. He was in the tabloids all weekend. He was the
center of attention. Word with Bannon once upon a time.
Mooch! Bigger than Trump. No, he wasn't. Never bigger than Trump. Egos in the White House, absolutely. White House needs to right its ship. I think they did so by adding Kelly. I think we're going to see a different 6 months than we saw the first 6 months. And I think this ship is going to get righted. And I think we'll start to see victories. Donald Trump needs to focus on wins. Period. Case closed. He needs to hyper-focus on victories. Wins. And there are plenty of them out there right now that he can talk about. Not when we're talking about legislation. But other news out there that we can talk about. Other news out there that matters. You and I don't care about the Mooch. I could care less about the Mooch. Don't care. I cared that he was hired because I think it was poor management. I could care less about the Russia investigation because it's just a rabbit hole. And they're going to find a rabbit, and it's not going to be the rabbit that a lot of people on the left want them to find. But I could care less because there's nothing in it for us, for the American people. I don't care about a lot of the other crap that goes around in D.C. because it does not matter. What I do care about are the victories that matter to the people. Right now, we the people, that's you and I, the customers, are starting to see some ROI, at least in the confidence that we have that our economy is moving forward. That's important. That is vitally important in what we do. Because all of us participate in the economy. You buy something, it's the economy. You sell something, it's the economy. Hell, even healthcare is 1/6 of what? The economy. If Trump wants to quiet the noise, he can do it. Focusing on the wins. Focusing on the things that matter to you and I as individuals, as customers, as Americans, as business owners, as employees, as employers, as husbands, as wives, as fathers, as sons, what matters is the economy. Most of us vote in a way that we think that this group of people or that group of people will handle the economy in a better way, a fairer way, a whatever way. Trump needs to focus. It's hard to focus when you put yourself in situations time and time again that make you look not so good. And it's happened. Be honest with yourself, it's happened. The Mooch was the latest example of poor management. Now he's got Kelly. I think General Kelly's going to do a good job. I don't think he's a permanent solution. I think he's the kind of person that's here to right the ship. Get a new captain. Remember the movie The Princess Bride? I'll most likely kill you in the morning. And then eventually, he turns it over to Wesley. Same thing. He's going to find somebody who's second. He's going to work underneath him, somebody he can trust. They're going to put together a plan. I think that plan is going to work, especially if Trump allows him to do what he needs to do. He'll right the ship, and then he'll go back out and do what he's done in the past. That has nothing to do with being the chief of staff, but all to do with working in the intelligence industry that we need him for. So Trump has to focus on wins. People care about the economy, and there are still opportunities out there to fix a lot of things that need to be fixed. When he came into this, immigration was a big thing. That's a win right now. No, there is no wall built, but have you looked at the numbers? People aren't coming here like they used to. He built a wall with his voice, a sound wall. People are scared to try to come over here because they've got somebody that's no longer catch and release, it's catch and throw back. Oh, and they're scared. They're scared. That's putting people off from coming here. Taxes are the things he needs to tackle now, as well as regulations and jobs. Those things are vitally important. It's the economy. Victory after victory, no matter how small or big they are, will quiet the noise. When he came in, he wanted to be the businessman. He was going to throw everybody out, drain the swamp, whatever you want to call it. This is what he was going to do. Great, fantastic. I think a lot of people forgot, though, you may want to play the business game, right? You want to play ice hockey, they want to play tennis. You want to play ice hockey. You want to play business. You want to run it like a business. They don't want to run it like business. They want to run it like politics. Fine. Let them run it like politics. But let's subtly throw some business in there along the way and bring them over to your side. Let's do that. And through your victories, and you celebrate them and you talk about them, guess what? The noise, the Russia, all of that other stuff, it dies down because people don't care. They got more money in their pocket. They see their taxes going down. They see things are getting a little bit easier. They feel like they're settled and they feel comfortable. All that other stuff is noise. But you've got to tackle it. Today, speaking to small business owners, he was on point with a lot of stuff.
We're ending job-killing regulation. These folks know that very well. And pursuing bold tax cuts so that our companies can thrive, compete, and grow.
Taxes and regulations. Taxes and regulations. I like it. Let's do it. Let's get busy with it. Taxes, regulations. Let's fix it. Overburden of regulations to small, medium, large-sized businesses, especially small businesses, with the lifeblood of our country, are small business owners. The regulations are overburdening and they're crushing. Same things with taxes and fees and all kinds. It's time that we take the chains off the economy and let it go. Take the training wheels off the economy. Let it go. Jobs. Bringing jobs back, vitally important.
The jobs are coming pouring back. Factories are coming pouring back into our country.
Well, they see some more factory work, but not all jobs are pouring back. But you know what? The confidence is in the economy right now. Unemployment's down. And while the numbers are fake comparatively to what they really are, they're still down. And we seem to be moving in a direction that's good. 16-year low for unemployment. Good. Again, numbers aren't exactly real. I'll tell you that right now. But you celebrate the victories that you've got in front of you. And along the way, when you're celebrating those victories, when you're talking about your accomplishments, when you're actually saying, look, this is what's really happening. 16-year low. Gas prices down. Stock market is rocketing through the roof. Consumer index, as far as our confidence, is rising in the economy. We're going to fix healthcare because we're going to have no choice. But it's not going to be today. So I can't deal with that today, but I'm going to deal with taxes. I'm going to deal with immigration. I'm going to get victories along the way. And while all of that is going on, guess what the media is going to have to start to do? Pay attention.
You don't hear too much from the media, but I think the media is going to actually be forced to cover it pretty soon. They're going to have no choice.
Yeah, they're going to have no choice. At some point in time, they're going to have no choice. At some point in time, they're going to have to focus on victories. If they want any credibility at all. They'll focus on the crap. Let's be real. The Russia, the Seth Rich thing, which I'm not even really talking about. If you didn't see that today. I mean, there's you know, at some point in time, their rabbit hole chasing is going to have to end because people are saying, I don't care that you're down a rabbit hole. I'm going to fill it with dirt because I'm moving on. And they're going to have to go, oh, well, we better figure something else out. Celebrate the victories. They're in front of you. Celebrate the victories. It's time to do that. It's time to focus on the positive and start bringing the solutions to the people, because these are the things that matter. Government shouldn't be the end all to be all. You control your own destiny. But government can sure make things a lot harder. And they have, especially when it comes to our economy and our health care and a lot of other things. And if you can roll back some of this stuff, if you can relieve some of these burdens that are overregulating everything in the world, if you can roll back some of these taxes and give people just a simple, easy way to do things and take away the headache and the nightmare that is taxes, if you can start to take those training wheels off the economy, people will start to see it benefit them. And guess what? All that other stuff slowly but surely fades away. All that other stuff becomes distant noise. All that other stuff becomes distant memory, because people feel good. Celebrate the victories. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. 36 years ago, this changed a lot, and dare I say, it affected most of us more than most politics has. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show, setting things straight.
36 years ago, on this day, something took place that changed pop culture, changed television, changed politics. We didn't see it coming. And for many of us listening, it probably played a bigger part in our lives throughout our younger, developing brain, trying to figure out who you are kind of person. Than politics, than mom and dad, and a lot of other things. Ladies and gentlemen, 36 years ago, we screamed this.
I want my MTV.
I want my MTV.
I love that. Pauly Shore. That was Phil put that together. He threw in Pauly Shore because I said, Pauly's not as bad as people think. But let me tell you something about MTV. American Express wanted, they joined with Warner and said, hey, look, we want to do something so we could sell our goodies and financial services to people. So they had the movie channel and Nickelodeon. They said, we want to do a third channel. So they said, well, how about music? And at first, the board said, nah, it's not going to work. It's stupid. That's fine. They said, no, it's going to be cheap because the music's going to be provided by the music companies. They went on the air. First one, Video Killed the Radio Star, the Buggles. That was it. And guess what? It fizzled. They had 7 months to get it ready. They only had 250 videos, and they struggled to get it ready and get it going. They wanted to have it ready for summer because that's when fads take off. People are home. Didn't go very well. Lost a lot of money the first year. In fact, they're at the point where it looked like it was going to die. They came up with a slogan. They said, let's go to Mick Jagger and see if he'll do this. They said, Mick said, how much money do you have? Executive took out a dollar bill, put it on the table, said, that's it. And he said, I like your confidence. I'll do it. And he said, I want my MTV. And then it exploded. And it exploded big time. And it changed so much stuff. Politics became something that we gravitated towards through music culture and the entertainment world, and it really took a hold in the MTV days. Remember? Well, I inhaled, but I didn't smoke. Bill Clinton grabbed that youth vote when he went on MTV. It launched reality television with Real World. where they took a bunch of people from different backgrounds and threw them in a house, and hey, away we went. And yes, it did launch Pauly Shore. But Dan Cortez, and it gave us VJs that all of us pretty much remember. Alan Hunter, J.J. Jackson, Nina Blackwood, Martha Quinn. Oh, yeah, we remember those. Kennedy, Tabitha Soren. They announced today that TRL is actually coming back. MTV changed a lot in our culture. And I don't think people realize that. It's only 36 years ago that that thing launched. Over time, it changed more and more, and then they started to realize with the advent of the internet and YouTube, guess what? Kids can get their videos 1,000 times somewhere else. So they bobbed and weaved and pivot, and they're still finding their way as they go. But it did change so much. And the big three that saved it were Michael Jackson, Prince, and a woman named Madonna. But it also was a big savior for a lot of bands. Here's an interesting story. I love the fact that, you know, you've got this, you know, you got Axl Rose and the boys, Guns N' Roses, out there struggling, sold 200,000 units of their album Appetite for Destruction. Looked like it was dead and dusted. They said, let's get rid of this band. And they said, no, we can save him. They went into David Geffen. He made a call. They said, look, they're going to play one video. It's going to be 4 a.m. I doubt anything is going to happen. But this is the influence of what they had. They played that video at 4 a.m. 10,000 calls came in the next 15 minutes, and it broke the switchboard. They moved millions of the album over the next month, and they became massive stars. It ushered in a new wave of really crazy British pop bands like Duran Duran, Flock of Seagulls. It changed a lot of things. 36 years ago, something that seemed like it was turned out to be massive and huge. And it did influence a lot of our lives. And that's MTV. I want my MTV. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Jack loves it a lot. I don't want him to play it. Tackle. I don't care that he plays flag football. Care less. That sounds good. It's good exercise. A lot of fun. His mother agrees with me. At some point in time, we say no. And last week, that huge study that came out, you know, it's 110 out of 111 NFL players have CTE. That's a lot, man. That's a pattern, right? I'm pretty sure that's a pattern. I think we look and go, you know what? I think that's a pattern. That's a pattern right there. That there is a pattern. But yesterday, a rookie Jet, Jamal Adams, is kind of doing one of these symposiums, you know, for the fans and this, that, and the other. And Roger Goodell, who's the leader of the NFL, the czar, if you will, the commish, he was up there sitting alongside of him. And there's been a lot of controversy. I mean, these are men that our kids look up to, and they're heroes, and these are men who we enjoy their athleticism. These are men, though, who we know now suffer tremendously. It used to be, I remember the first time when I looked back and I said, wow, look at that. Look at the pain. And that was Earl Campbell. As a kid growing up, I loved Earl Campbell. You remember Earl Campbell, Producer Phil?
Actually, I don't.
Earl Campbell was this guy that was this amazing runner with the Houston Oilers, and he was a beast, man. He was beast mode long before beast mode. And he had these tearaway jerseys, man. People would rip his jerseys off, and they'd tear away, and he would run you over. And I remember seeing him not too long after he retired. He might have been in his mid-40s, late, and he was in a walker. I thought, wow. But now, these guys, you know, if a knee replacement is the least of their worries, and left, right, and center, they're retiring from the NFL. Guys who were in their prime money-making years, they're leaving the NFL because they know what the future holds if they continue. And even at that point in time, it may be too late. I saw a couple different articles and studies that say, we know that people have concussions, big ones. We understand that. But throughout their lifetime, it may not be 5 and 10 concussion. It may be hundreds of small concussions, like an earthquake. I live here in California. Every day we have earthquakes, but we rarely feel any of those earthquakes. They're small. They're 1.2, 2.3. You don't feel those. Every once in a while, you may get a 5.0 or 6.5. Like, whoa, those ones you feel. But a lot of these other ones, you just don't feel. And over time, it adds up. So you've got this rookie, Jamal Adams, who's sitting next to the commissioner, and people are asking him questions. And one of the questions the fans and people are asking is about, hey, do you worry about the potential of brain damage, CTE? And this is what he had to say.
You know, I can speak for a lot of guys that play the game. You know, we live and breathe, and this is what we're so passionate about. Literally, if I had a perfect place to die, I would die on the field. I would be at peace. Literally, I would be at peace, and that's not a lie.
I'm sorry, Jamal. I know you're out there and you're talking about it. And you'd be at peace, and that sounds like this wonderful, amazing thing that you would die doing something you love. But I will tell you this: you're going to live probably another 50 years plus. If you're in good health and take care of yourself physically. But mentally, things may change for you in 15, 20 years. And you may not want to live those extra years. Mm-mm-mm-mm. And that's the issue that I have. And I wonder, how much longer are we going to do this? How much longer are we going to say, hey, kids, go out there and have fun, smash your heads. Hey, kids, go out there and go get several concussions that we won't know about, but that will affect your brain. Because they know it now. 15, 20 years ago, no, you just got your bell rung. They didn't understand it. Science and medicine have come a long way. They get it now. It's like people who smoked. For a long time, that stuff was all hidden. They didn't know. Now you know. That's your own. You do that to yourself. It's the same thing with football. You do that to yourself.
It's so much sacrifice that we go through as a team, and just connecting as one and winning ball games. It's nothing like playing a game of football. But again, I'm all about making the game safer. That's all I can say about it.
But you can't. You can't make it safer. You can't do it. That's just it. That's the point. You ask doctors. You can't do it. They could try all they can. But doctors tell you, until you can figure out a way to get inside the brain and stop it from going anywhere, doesn't matter what you do. And that's why I've told my son, no, you're not going to play. You're not going to play football. It's not going to happen. He's seven. You know, he can't play tackle right now. But he's just not going to do it. Well, that's kind of mean. No, it's because I love my son. It's because I love my son. Not that other people don't, because I'm sure they love their kids. But I look at it like, you know what? Sorry. I see the numbers. The numbers don't lie. I'm facts, not feelings. Feelings are I love you a lot. And I know you have feelings that you may want to play. But the facts are I'm looking at the numbers, and the numbers say this. And I think over time, there'll be more and more issues, and we'll find more and more out that college football players who we've started to see come forward, who have been affected, and high school players are going to come forward. And then there's going to be decisions made across this country in places where football's a hotbed of Friday nights and Saturday nights. And they're going to say, you know what? I don't know if insurance-wise we can afford to do this anymore. We're supposed to be educating these kids, not dumbing them down and hurting them. We move from one football story to another one. The NCAA has decided that the UCF, University of Central Florida kicker, Donald De La Haye, can no longer be on the team. Loses his scholarship. And the reason? He's got a YouTube video. Several of them. He's got 85,000 subscribers. He makes money off his YouTube videos and his subscriber base on YouTube. And because of that, the NCAA said, nope, you're done. And there's been a fight about whether or not they should do that. And I look at the NCAA and I say to myself, you make a lot of money off these kids. This kid's not getting something from a booster. He's a kicker, right? First of all, he's a kicker. The fact he's on scholarship's amazing, but he's a kicker. He's taking his phone or his computer and he's doing videos talking about his life, being a kicker, going to school, doing all the, just basically following him around. And that's what you're getting rid of? Like, that's who you're going after? You profit off these kids left, right, and center. Don't tell me it's about the scholastic sports. It's about the student athlete. You don't give a rat's ass about the student side of things. You don't. And I hear the argument all the time. Well, they're getting college for free. Okay. That's fine. A lot of other people out there get college for free as well, and they get academic scholarships. If you're a kid who majors in science and you got an academic scholarship to a school and you don't pay anything and you want to go on YouTube and you make money, they don't take your scholarship away, do they? Well, no, but that's, but what? And by the way, how many of these kids have said over and over again, you profit off us, left, right, and center. You profit off of us. Ed O'Bannon sued the NCAA over, you know, the video game, the basketball video game that had his likeness and many others, and he didn't get paid for it. Said, well, wait a minute here. You took my likeness and you put it on a video game? And somehow you own me? No. It's crap. It is. But if you're on scholarship, you can't do it. Yet they have these weird rules that Ricky Williams, who once played for, you know, the Texas Longhorns, played minor league baseball, but because it was a different sport, he was allowed to keep his eligibility to play football. So he can go make money. Wait, what? It's convoluted and insane. They come up with these weird, wacky rules. And at times, you know what? I say, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. And I don't care that the kids get a free scholarship. I don't care about anything. They know the rules. I don't think anybody knows the rules. They seem to be very arbitrary. And you got this poor kid who's no longer going to be a kicker. He's no longer going to do what he loves to do. Because he makes YouTube videos. They're not racy. They're not violent. They're not crazy. They're not. They're just about his life. And 85,000 people say, you know what, I want to watch some of that. And the NCAA says, that's fine. Go ahead, watch it all you want, but you're just not going to do what you used to do. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Wrap it up. Talk about what we learned today on the Chad Benson Show. It is the Chad Benson Show.
This is the sound of your life.
One part philosopher.
It's wonderful that we're culturally diverse. You know what? At some point in time, it's not.
One part comedian.
Oh, look, it's street walking Barbie.
And one part bartender.
Mr. Craig.
Mix them all up and you get Chad Benson.
People are texting in. A lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute. They get a free scholarship. They get free, you know, room and board. They get free this, free that. I'm like, you know what? Just because, you know, you got this kicker who posts YouTube videos, has about 90,000 subscribers, makes some money off YouTube. And I'm sorry. You know what? I don't have a problem with that. And producer Phil said, there's devil's advocate. You know, isn't the NCAA, aren't they his employer? And I said, well, yeah, but if I came into you and I said, hey, employee, everybody else gets to do all this, and we're going to make a ton of money off of you, but you can't do it. Well, it's not very fair. Even though other people are here on scholarship, they can do whatever they want. You can't, because you play a sport. And because of that, you can't earn a living. And, oh, by the way, we own your likeness. We own everything about you. If you want to put on a football game, you're screwed. If you want to, whatever it is, you're screwed, because we own you. While you're here. That's frustrating. It is. It's very frustrating. It doesn't matter, man. You could be a water polo player. You could be a lacrosse player, a women's field hockey player. You could be, if you're on scholarship, they're paying attention. You can't do anything. Can't earn any money. Can't have a job. That's frustrating to a lot of people. They don't do that to the science guy. In fact, they encourage things like internships and employment during the summer. They encourage a lot of those things. They encourage, oh, yeah, it's good. You should be out there. No. Oh, they can make a little money here. You know what? Come on. It's ridiculous. And I don't have a problem with it. Yeah?
I'm going to be a jerk here for a second.
Do it.
Okay, look. These people know when they sign up for the scholarship, it comes with rules and regulations. They should have the due diligence to say, no, I don't want to sign those rights away.
Except for one thing, producer Phil. We don't know. Nobody knows what some of these rules and regulations are. He didn't know when he started doing this that there was a rule about that. He didn't know any of that stuff. That's what he said. A lot of other people have said the same thing. Sometimes they come in and they say, oh, this is the rule. Well, it seems very arbitrary that you come in and do it now. Why is it that I can go play minor league baseball and earn a living there and get a big fat signing bonus, but I can still keep my eligibility for football? But if I'm a football player and I YouTube myself, suddenly I can't do that? That just seems very arbitrary. That's the frustration people have. And you brought up a good point, man. You know what? If you're on scholarship, doesn't matter what you do. Science major, English major, history major, math major. And you're there for those and you got a scholarship, or you're there just doing your liberal arts, getting your four-year degree, and you're a football player and you're on a scholarship or whatever it is, nobody should be allowed to earn a penny. How about that? We'll just make it right across the board. But they make a lot of money off these kids, and they don't give a rat's ass. Student athlete. That's the way they feel about the student athlete. They make billions of dollars off them. And 99.9% of them will never see a professional paycheck from the sport that they're playing. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it's stupid and I think it's ridiculous. And I don't care if it's free college, education, whatever. A lot of people there go free, get grants, do all kinds of stuff. So let's just slow our roll. Solid fun day as always today. What did we learn today on the Chad Benson Show? First and foremost, the president of the United States of America, that'd be Donald Trump, needs to focus on winning. The things that you have done, where things are going in this country that are positive, focus on those things. Focus on the things you're going to get done. Focus on that and winning. Remind everybody you're here to win. There's a long-term game. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Let's focus on winning. Other things we learned today. Sanctuary City activist judges are lunacy. And that we may be in for a long haul here when it comes to a lot of this stuff. Oh, indeed. We learned that MTV came on the air 36 years ago, and it changed a lot of things in politics and pop culture. For many of us, it affected us in a way far more than a lot of this other stuff that we talk about affected us. And we learned that the NCAA has arbitrary rules, and that if you're a YouTuber, you may very well may be in trouble if the NCAA deems so, especially if you make a penny. Always fun to be with you. Follow us across all mediums, Chad Benson Show. Like us on Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your day. We'll get you over the hump tomorrow. That there, we promise you. As always, I bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.